We're Mambo Jambo. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Pete.
And I'm Frankie.
We're professional musicians. We live in Hull, but we do a lot of travelling. And we've got to know quite a few port cities in different parts of the world on our tours. We thought it'd be good to get a different perspective on our hometown of Hull.
That's one of our songs, called Cumbia in the Moonlight, from Grovefruit, our latest album. It's about a sailor who gets a new perspective on his home.
We'll come back to that song a bit later on. For this podcast, which is part of a Hull Maritime Community grant scheme, we've been exploring new perspectives on our hometown, including some maritime themes, along with students from Ron Deering UTC College, local playwright Rupert Creed, and John Moran.
John skippers the Humber Pilot's launch, as you're about to hear, which means he's one of the people who keeps the river traffic flowing safely up and down the Humber. Over to you, John.
We're here today with John Moran, and we're here to talk about his work as a pilot launch coxswain on the River Humber. Hello there, John.
Good afternoon.
Can you tell us what a pilot launch coxswain actually is, and maybe what a typical working day looks like for you?
My job as a pilot launch coxswain is to deliver the pilots to the ships as they are approaching. So I'll drive medium-sized boats, and I will deliver up to 8 pilots to ships approaching, and also disembark pilots from ships as they leave the river. I have one crewman assisting me at all times and working for 12-hour shifts during the day. So it's basically early starts, 12-hour shifts, and the work is pretty consistent and non-stop throughout the year and through the day.
Bearing in mind the amount of shipping, the amount of freight that comes in and out through the Humber, which is a very busy waterway, It sounds like a very responsible job you've got.
It is, and it's a very important job. As you say, a lot of shipping comes through the Humber ports. A quarter of all maritime trade in the UK comes through the Humber ports. 33,000 shipping movements per year. The work is non-stop, fairly relentless, but important because the ships aren't allowed to make passage up and down the river without a trained mariner aboard. And so without those pilots being delivered to the ships don't come into the ports, and the essential goods that we need in this country won't be delivered.
And what would you say to college students who might be interested in this job?
As a job, it's different to any other sort of job that you might expect to do. It's not an office job, it's not 9 to 5, there are night shifts, you're left to your own devices, there's a lot of independent thinking, there's lots of independent work involved. It's largely an outside job, although you are inside a sealed boat, so you're not getting soaked the whole time. You are in the fresh air, you're in the daylight, you're in the sunlight. But it does require a change of thought from if you're at college, for instance, and you're used to just getting up at a certain time and working the day through, you need to get yourself into a different sort of routine. That having been said, it's a rewarding job because you do have so much independence in the way you can act. You can manage your own time during the day. And as I say, you're working outside, which is it's just yourself against the sea.
Of course, we don't really have the fishing port that we did a few decades ago, but we still have a very busy commercial port in Hull, don't we? Over the docks on Heddon Road and stuff, there seems to be a lot of activity goes on there. Is that a very busy port?
It is. It's reasonably busy. As far as the Humber is concerned, it's not as busy as Immingham and Grimsby. However, we do take different cargoes through Hull. Everyone will be aware of the Siemens plant, which manufactures wind turbines on Alexandra Dock. Other products involve forest products, so we'll get a lot of timber, wood and paper coming through King George Dock. And beyond that, the regular visitors are container ships, and these containers could contain anything that you would use on a day-to-day basis. So anything you bought by in a supermarket is likely to have come through a container. And if it's come through Hull, it'll be through King George Dock.
So Pete and I have written a tune about a sailor looking at his hometown from a different perspective. How about the perspective you get coming in and out of Humber Estuary every day? Does that give you a different perspective?
It does. And again, it harks back to the way things are changing. You could talk about the changing skyline of Hull, for instance. One of the most noticeable aspects of the Hull skyline was it was always a very low skyline, with one thing sticking up was the Holy Trinity Church. So that would break the horizon. Again, over the years, that's changed a lot, and I've seen that change in my time with various large hotels being put up and other buildings being put up. So the profile of Hull is not as low in aspect as it was before. That's what
you see. Leads me to ask another question. Tell us about Dead Bod.
Dead Bod. Yeah, it's one of Hull's icons, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I've heard various different stories about it. I think the one I like the best is that the sheds that it was painted on were on top of a jetty, and that jetty used to have tugs moored up to it. And there were two different tug companies vying for the places on the same jetty. And the story goes that after one particular argument, they decided where the demarcation line was between one company and another. And one of the crewmen said, "Well, where is it then?" And he said, "It's there on the ground where that dead bod is. There was a dead bird on the jetty." Mm-hmm. And so they could keep a track of exactly where that mark was, they painted an enormous dead bod on the side of this rusty shed with a little arrow pointing exactly where the demarcation line was. I think that's the story that makes the most sense to me.
That's interesting, because we've actually heard a few different stories.
Yes. Other stories do exist, yes. But that's the one that makes the most sense to me, since there was always a triangular marker with it as well.
Right. And it's also interesting that people want to add stories to a legend, an icon,
of course,
isn't it?
It's an urban myth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dead bod, which of course you can still see...
in the Humber Gallery.
Down Humber Street, yeah. So obviously there's the day-to-day running of the shipping business, but there must be some standout moments as well, something that you do which is memorable or out of the ordinary that makes the job really varied. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. There have been several instances over the years. For instance, when the Clipper race departed... for its round-the-world voyage from Hull. ABP and the harbour master provided a series of guard boats, and I was the coxswain on the lead boat, which led the flotilla as they started their race from Hull. So at that point we had film crews on board who were filming the entire spectacle and interviewing us all and making sure the public got to know what was going on. More recently, the Queen's Jubilee flotilla. They required a lead boat from ABP, from the harbour master, to guide the flotilla up and down the Humber in front of all the spectators. And so I was the coxswain on that boat as well.
Well, maybe that's because they feel you're a safe pair of hands, John. Can I just thank you for giving us your time? A very different perspective on Hull for landlubbers such as ourselves. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thanks. After talking to John, we went into Ron Deering UTC College, where we were going to meet the students, play them the interview with John, and play them a live version of our song, Cumbia in the Moonlight, and have some chats along the way.
So remember the song we started out with in the intro? Let's carry on from where we faded it out.
A sailor once told me that in his homeland, cool mountain streams run down onto golden sands, where the people would meet beside the bay to dance the cumbia in the moonlight till the break of day. They dance the cumbia in the moonlight till the break of day. They dance the cumbia in the moonlight. They dance the cumbia. They dance it all night, and it makes them feel alive, makes them feel free. I saw the moonlight in his eyes as he sang the songs to me. I watched the moon shine in his eyes as he gazed out over the sea. But the time came when he had to choose to leave or stay, and the thirst for adventure pulled him away. He said, "I've sailed twice round this world, and its wonders never cease. I've never found my fortune, but my soul's found peace. Crossing all the oceans, I've seen fire and I've seen ice. And on the way I've learned there is such thing as paradise. Oh, but it's somewhere that we have to make for ourselves. And that's never going to be until everyone can help. But the closest that I've been is far away in my homeland, where cool mountain streams run down onto golden sands, where my people still meet beside the bay to dance the cumbia in the moonlight till the break of day. They dance the cumbia in the moonlight till the break of day. They dance the cumbia in the moonlight. They dance the cumbia. They dance it all night, and it makes them feel alive, makes them feel free. I saw the moonlight in his eyes as he sang their songs to me. I watched the moon shine in his eyes as he gazed out over the sea.
As a person who lives outside of Hull, how do you feel about the city? What do you think about it?
Well, I've been going to this college for a while now, so I know most of like the streets and stuff, and I've been around it, and I've know the people, how kind of the people act. It's very different to where I live, but I don't dislike it. It's a nice city. It's again very different because I live in a little village, and my parents make metal artwork, and they make dead bods and three ships, so we do again contribute to Hull's culture, I guess, in a way, as you could say.
You talked briefly about your parents doing work with three ships. What does that include?
Well, they make it out of steel. And I don't know the full story behind it, but I do know that the person that drew it, their son has given us permission to make it. So that's always, you know, we're not doing it illegally, so that's good. am I right in saying that it's going to be still there after they've done the restoration?
Yeah.
That's good, because I didn't know.
I've got a question for you, Molly. Yes. I'm from Hull, and I don't really know what the three ships are. Could you explain just what they are?
It's a big mural on the side of a building.
Is it on the one on the British Home Stores building? Is it that one?
Yes, it is.
Aha!
that's the three ships.
Thank you.
Julia, what do you think about how much education we get about Hull and its history within the maritime?
Well, I think that schools should be teaching a lot more like modern and local history that's relevant to, you know, the everyday lives that we lead, rather than kind of, I guess, history that's not really relevant to our lives. Like, I think we should be taught more about the docks and like the history that Hull has, and the industry, the fishing industry, that kind of thing.
I myself don't live here as well, so coming to Ron Deering, I barely knew anything about Hull's history other than it had something to do with fishing. And in our cultural capital lessons, I have learnt a bit more, but I'm still patchy on areas, and I think it would be really great for all students to learn a lot more about their own culture.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
We thought it was a great session, didn't we?
Yeah.
And the students had really interesting questions and comments.
We were just about to wrap up when one of the students raised a point. They'd been learning about the dockside communities in Liverpool because they'd been studying a play called Blood Brothers, which is set around Liverpool docks. But they said they hadn't ever had a chance to learn about the docks right here on our doorstep.
Jacob, what do you think about learning in Ron Deering about things to do with docks and that may link towards Hull's experience as well as like Liverpool's, like we did in Blood Brothers?
I think it's good that we're learning about it and how they both link to how they were shut down and how it caused problems in society and people making money in the middle class and lower class.
But we should be learning more about Hull's own than rather in our English lessons we're learning more about Liverpool's than our own history.
Mm. That's a really good point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And after we finished recording, one of the students asked if anyone had written a play about Hull's own experiences.
Well, it just so happens that a friend of ours, local playwright Rupert Creed, has written a lot about Hull, especially the fishing community. So we decided to pay Rupert a visit. We asked him about some of his plays, including one very powerful play about how the tragic loss of three trawlers and their crews led a group of women, the so-called headscarf revolutionaries, to lead the fight, to start a campaign to establish decent safety regulations for the whole fishermen.
So, hello, Rupert.
Hi.
Tell me more about the plays you've written.
The first one was a play called The Northern Trawl. That was back originally in 1985. The second one was a large cast community play written by John Oram, actually, although I directed it, called Vital Spark. And the second half of that was entirely devoted to the 1968 trawler tragedy and the Wives' Campaign for Safety. Mm-hmm. And out of that, much later in 2014, I did a storytelling piece of theatre called Turning the Tide, where we recorded most of the women who had been involved in that campaign.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking to young people at Ron Deering College, and some of this might not seem so relevant for them. It might seem like it's a long time ago, but it's not dusty old history, is it?
When you look at something like the 1968 trawler tragedy and the Heselrode Wives campaign to improve safety, you realise it's an absolutely universal story. This is women. They stepped out their traditional role. For the first time in their history, they confronted the trawler owners, who they saw as literally killing their husbands and sons and brothers. And that was a very difficult thing for women to do at that time. So they got a lot of backlash, they got a lot of flack from the powers that be, the trawler owners, but equally over time from their own community. Some of the men weren't that happy with having to have women stand up to fight their battle. So I think what you've got is one of the early stories of women's liberation happening in Hull. And it does sound like, yeah, that's a long time ago now, isn't it? We're talking, 50 years now plus? But the values of having people standing up and fighting for justice, they wanted reforms in the industry, they wanted safe working practices, saying, no, surely we can do things better than this. So I think it's a very powerful story that speaks to today. Mm-hmm. This is a very early example of very non-political women getting up and making a stand and actually being incredibly successful. They changed that industry in the space of a few weeks in February 1968. So a very powerful achievement.
Thanks a lot, Rupert.
Very You're welcome.
Yes, thanks to Rupert Creed for giving us that interview.
By the way, you can still hear Rupert's Radio 4 documentary, Turning the Tide, on BBC Sounds if you look under Radio Humberside, and that includes the voices of people who lived through those events.
Well, we've come to the end of our podcast. It's been something new for us, and it's been great chatting to people, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And getting a bit of a new perspective on our hometown, a bit like the sailor in our song. So we'll leave you with the end of that song.
I saw the moonlight in his eyes as he sang their songs to me. I watched the moon shine in his eyes as he gazed out over the sea.
And many thanks to Hull Maritime, Charlotte Tomlinson, Chris Berry and the students Juliet, Jim, Amelia, Molly and Jacob at Ron Deering, Rupert Creed, John Moran, Andy P and West Hull FM. Check out our website, mambojambo.co.uk.